All right, so you ready to go, Nikki?
I'm ready to go.
All right, so you got your thick shirt on?
Oh, yeah. It's fall's coming up.
You got your symbols ready to go?
I got all the symbols for all the witchy spells we're going to be doing.
You got your jump shoes on for jumping really high?
Oh, yeah. I've got my jump shoes on for jumping in the mushroom world.
You got enough pick-me-ups, beverages, you know?
Yeah, mushrooms.
Keep you going.
Yeah, I got shrooms. I've got rock candy. I've got all the necessities.
All the necessities. All right. I think we're ready to start the podcast.
Well, I think we're ready.
All right.
Welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric.
And today we're talking about Super Mario RPG, The Legend of the Seven Stars.
Wow.
Remake?
Remake, yeah.
Or remastered?
Kind of both.
Yeah. Which is a role-playing Mario game for the Nintendo Switch. It's a remake of Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars, in case you didn't get that. They came out for Super Nintendo in 1996. The remake was developed by Art Piazza and was released on November 17th, 2023. The story focuses on Mario and his friends as they seek to defeat the Smithy Gang, who have crashed into the world and scattered the seven star pieces of Star Road. Wow. Bum, bum, bah! Man, the drama.
Yeah, it's super, super straightforward and simple.
I will say, though, for a Mario game, this one has a lot more story than normal. But
yeah,
less story than other RPGs.
Yeah, it's a really simple story, but it's good in a lot of ways. And we'll get into that later, but just one of the reasons I picked this game is because when I was a kid, I was a little bit obsessed with it.
And by a little bit, what do you mean? What are we talking?
I might have beaten it five or six times or something like that.
As a kid?
Yeah. I played it a bunch. I like this game a lot.
You have a really good attention span.
But I remember one of the first times I ever played it, one of my brother's friends brought it over for whatever reason, and then they left to go do something else.
Okay.
So they just left me alone with this new game.
Wow, that was dumb.
Yeah, clearly a big mistake on their part.
And they never got it back.
Somehow, while they were gone, I managed to accidentally delete one of the save files.
One of their save files?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I think what was going on was all three save files had something on it, and I was trying to get the game to start.
Oh.
And I might have accidentally deleted one of them. Yeah.
Oh, no. Eric, you're that annoying little brother of your friend.
I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing.
Your stupid brother.
I was just hitting buttons, trying to get the game to go anyway.
What if they were at the end of the game and you deleted their whole entire game? I would have been so mad at you.
Yeah. So, of course, I did what anyone would do in that situation, any younger brother would do.
Oh, God.
Which was frantically play the game to try to get back to where they were. They probably, without really knowing where they were.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds like a sitcom plot.
But, I didn't really know much about this game or anything or what, that there's secrets and items and all that stuff.
How did this work out for you? Did you get back to the spot that they were at? Did you get caught?
No, I got caught. Once they got back, I think I did admit to them that I accidentally deleted the save. I think it ended up not being that big a deal, actually. I think it was maybe one of his siblings' saves, so he didn't care.
Okay. Well, you got lucky on that then. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. But anyway, I played again, renting it from Blockbuster. It's like the first two times I had access to it, I was never able to really play it that much.
Really aging yourself here, Eric.
Yeah. And then I think I finally got it as a Christmas present or a birthday present or something. And then I was able to actually play through the entire game.
Five or six times.
I liked it so much.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's a cool story. I'm surprised you haven't picked it already.
Yeah, I was... it's one of those games debatable. Do I want to have someone else on who is equally passionate about this game
or
not?
But gotcha.
I don't really know if any of my friends really are into this game that much.
Okay.
And they did. As much as I was.
And they did just come out with the remake/remaster of it. So I'm kind of glad that you waited for that to let me play like the newer version of it instead of having to look at like really old graphics.
I mean, the graphics aren't that bad, like in the Super
you
Nintendo.
You always say that.
I think I feel like they aged pretty well, to be honest, even though that they are like pre-3D rendered and stuff.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I'll have to take your word. But I feel like you've said this before, and I was like, I don't know if I agree.
All right, well, let's get into the history.
All right, let's All do right. it. So, Eric, I'm assuming since this game is super old, that you were able to find a whole bunch of info.
Yeah, a pretty good amount.
Cool.
So yeah, I'm going to start with the original 1996 version of the game.
Okay.
So the original version was developed by Square.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Square?
Do you remember? So.
We've talked about Square before.
I keep thinking of Square Enix.
Yeah.
But that's like, Square, you know, that's a newer company.
Square would later merge with Enix. They were separate companies, actually.
Okay.
And
oh, okay.
One of the interesting things is Square was doing the Final Fantasy series, and Enix was making the Dragon Quest series.
Okay.
And so they were two, like, rival RPG game makers.
Ooh.
And so they later merged and formed Square Enix.
Nice.
So, yeah. So
it's kind of like this game, where two enemies become one team.
Yeah, yeah, kind
of. Sort of.
Well,
Square, I probably could have worded that a little bit better, but you know what I mean.
Square and Nintendo were not enemies at this time.
Oh, okay.
But it is interesting that the company that, you know, is responsible for all the Final Fantasy games is the one that made Mario RPG,
yeah.
The original Mario RPG.
Yeah, it kind of gives it, like, street cred or whatever. The game, it's like, okay, well, you can trust that this is going to be good because they made all these other awesome RPGs.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why Miyamoto kind of trusted them with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, 1994, Square had a pretty good relationship with Nintendo. The idea to work together came up during a business meeting. Shigeru Miyamoto wanted to make an RPG with Mario, and Square wanted to develop an RPG that could do better outside of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't really reached the global market that they wanted to. Most of the Final Fantasy games never made it to the U.S. That's why when Final Fantasy VI came out in the U.S., it was known as Final Fantasy III.
Okay, yeah, because I remember that it's all off.
Yeah, because that was only the third one to make it over to the United States at all.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them never made it over.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So this kind of sounds like the perfect solution.
Yeah, so the game is obviously pretty different from Square's other RPGs at the time. According to the game's director, Chihiro Fujioka, there was a lot of back and forth between Nintendo and Square. Fujioka said in a quote, with regards to the graphics, Nintendo has a certain style they like. It was the kind of thing where you think you'd get it perfect only to realize, oh wait, this is wrong. Our graphics team cried a lot.
Aw, poor guys.
So yeah, apparently Nintendo is very nitpicky about the way Mario is presented.
Yeah, it's like their golden child.
Yeah.
It's their main mascot. Of course, they're going to be very protective.
So Fujioka said that they initially assumed that the game would include traditional weapons, like, you know, swords and spears and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because at Square, they associated RPGs with weapons, he said. Only after their conversations progressed with Miyamoto did it become clear that it would be weird to include them in a Mario game.
Yeah. Yeah, Mario doesn't really have a lot of weapons in general.
Yeah.
It's more like superpowers, sort of.
Yeah, can you imagine, like, Mario using a sword or, like, an axe or something?
I mean, I kind of could. I mean, he has a hammer, right, at one point. So, I mean, that's not, like, too different. I guess a sword is a lot more violent than a hammer, kind of. But
yeah,
it's like you don't really associate Mario with a lot of violence, even though he is killing a lot of enemies in the games. It's not very, like, graphic or anything. They just kind of plop over and, like, fall off the screen.
Yeah.
They don't, like, bleed out or anything like that.
Or get smushed into non-existence.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was Miyamoto who insisted that they include a hammer for Mario, though.
It sounds like Nintendo's kind of forcing them to think more outside the box as far as RPGs go.
Yeah, and that's also true about the kind of the platforming elements within Mario RPG, because if you looked at any other Square game at the time, they didn't really have anything like that where you're jumping and stuff within within the game screen. So that was, yeah, them thinking outside of their normal parameters for making an RPG too.
So would you say after this game came out, the RPGs kind of took on a different sort of, I don't know, feel? Like there was more variation of RPGs after this, or?
That's a good question. I'd say yes and no. I think that was just the general progression anyway. Just people combining RPG elements with other styles of games.
Yeah, that's but true.
You didn't really see it too much when this game came out.
Yeah.
Which kind of made it pretty unique in a lot of ways. So the original game was made with pre-rendered 3D graphics, since the Super Nintendo wasn't well suited for 3D graphics at the time, much in the same vein as like Donkey Kong Country, which I don't think you ever played that.
I never played that one.
Yeah, it looked a lot better back then. But yeah, it was like they would make the sprites with 3D models, because you know you couldn't actually render the 3D figures on the Super Nintendo, so you just pre-render them and then make sprites out of them.
Okay.
So Square's Final Fantasy series was the model for the battle sequence, with the platforming elements inspired by Nintendo games like Mario's ability to jump up and down outside of combat. So the game's soundtrack was composed by Yoko Shimomura, who regards the Super Mario RPG score as one of the turning points in her career. She would go on to compose soundtracks for the Kingdom Hearts series, the Xenoblade Chronicles, Parasite Eve, the Mario & Luigi series RPG games, and Final Fantasy XV, just to name a few.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
She was composing soundtracks even before then, but I think that was one of the first like really big ones that turned her career.
Oh yeah, I bet. The soundtrack for this game is really good.
Yeah, yeah, I always love the soundtrack. So the original Super Mario RPG released in 1996 in Japan and North America. It sold over 2 million copies across the two regions within the first year. It received generally positive reviews. It garnered praise for its graphics and humor in particular. It never ended up being released in Europe. For whatever reason.
Huh.
I think they decided that it would have to be translated into too many different languages and it wasn't maybe worth it.
I guess.
Yeah, I'm still not quite sure why.
Couldn't they at least just sell it in English? And then if you didn't want it or couldn't read that, then you don't have to buy it, but at least it would be available.
I think there's a legal requirement when they sell games in Europe that they be in so many languages.
All right, well, that's fine.
So there were quite a few changes the Art Piazza remake made.
Okay.
To the game, besides just the updates, the graphics, and music. The most noticeable changes are to the battle system.
Okay.
So the exclamation points were added to help with the timing of attacks and defending.
Ah. So that wasn't in the original game?
No, you just had to guess. You just had to like try to figure out when the right timing
Honestly,
point was.
Honestly, it
on
might
your
be
own.
Better for me to not have the exclamation point there.
Really? You think so?
I think so. Because I think a lot of times for me, when I didn't look at the exclamation point, I can like time the blocks a little bit better. But
well, eventually when you start getting it consistently, it will go away.
Oh, okay.
So if you were getting it over and over again, then it would just stop showing up.
That's interesting.
So yeah, triple attacks were added, you know, with the
like
gauge.
Triple jump and stuff like that.
No, the special moves where you have the gauge, where depending on which three members you have in is which move you do.
Oh yeah, 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 like the special power thing.
Yeah,
or special move is what kind of what I referred to it as.
Yeah, so that was
or like the group special move.
Yeah, the group special
yeah
move. Yeah, that was never included in the original one.
Oh, okay, so I'm getting a whole different experience over here.
Yeah, the ability to swap out characters in the middle of the battle, that was never a part of the original.
Man,
splash damage on perfectly timed attacks was never part of the original.
Oh cool.
And the tougher unique enemies that were added in the game were never originally there.
So it sounds like it's worth playing the new one even if you played the old one. It's like a fresh take on it. It's not just a remake exactly.
Yeah,
they added a bunch of stuff.
I kind
of
have
it different.
I kind of have mixed feelings with some of the added things, but we'll get
I mean
into
if
that.
You want, you can always go back and play the original one.
True. Yeah,
so if you don't like it, you can just go play the old one,
assuming you have a Super Nintendo and the original Super Mario RPG.
Yeah.
Other changes include the breezy difficulty setting, bestiary, some post-game content with difficult boss rematches. Yeah, and there are some other smaller things like the music being redone and stuff like that.
Was the music redone or just like remastered?
Yeah, redone. And then you can swap actually between these two soundtracks if you want.
Oh, okay. But is it the same composer?
Yeah, it's like it's the same composed tracks. They're just like done on better with better instruments and stuff like that.
Okay.
Not on the Super Nintendo MIDI sounds.
Yeah. Okay, I gotcha.
So the remake has generally been reviewed positively and has sold more than 3 million copies within the first year of release. So yeah, it's outsold the original.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
It's like so much easier to get it if you have the internet, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
So we're going to move on to some fun facts.
Ooh, fun facts.
All right. So fun fact number one. So you may or may not know that Square and Nintendo's close relationship did not last very long after the release of Mario RPG.
I didn't know that. What happened? So, spill the tea.
So the very next year, Square would release Final Fantasy VII on PlayStation.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Rather than Nintendo 64.
Ooh.
Which Nintendo probably viewed that as a stab in the back. And going forward after Final Fantasy VII, I don't think they had another major Final Fantasy release on a Nintendo console.
Wow. But, you know, honestly, I can see why they would choose PlayStation.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted...
it's like more adult-oriented. It's like kind of more, a little more serious, and it's like more heavy graphics-wise,
well,
it feels like.
The big reason they went with PlayStation over Nintendo 64 had to do with the cartridges. Nintendo 64 uses cartridges. Mm-hmm. That have a limited amount of memory.
Yeah.
Whereas the PlayStation used CDs at the time, mm-hmm. and they could put like way more stuff on them.
Yeah.
In fact, I think their game came on like three discs, three CDs.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was like three or four CDs. So they honestly just wanted to make a bigger, grander game.
Yeah.
Than what they could do on the Nintendo 64. That was my understanding of why they released it on that. But Nintendo didn't like it. They weren't happy about it.
Yeah.
So back to the fun fact that I was still in the middle of. So as a result, the characters that were created for this game by Square never made another appearance. You know, Mallow, Geno, Smithy, Booster, with just a few exceptions.
Ooh.
In 2003's Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, Geno made a brief appearance in a minigame, but would be edited out of the remake of that game.
Oh, man.
And in 2018's Smash Brothers Ultimate, Geno was added as a costume for the Mii character as paid DLC.
Okay.
So, yeah, those were the two times those characters were ever brought back for anything. And yeah,
interesting.
It has to do with the fact that, you know, Nintendo and Square stopped getting along.
Yeah.
Which is why we never saw anything that had to do with this game again.
So much drama.
Yeah, because I think it's Square who owns the copyrights on those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Nintendo is not wanting to have anything to do with that, having to like go back and ask them for permission to use them.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we've got a million artists. We'll just create some new characters.
Yeah. Okay, so fun fact number two. So there's a Toad playing Game Boy in the end of the Mushroom Kingdom. If you talk to him enough, he will eventually sell you his Game Boy and you'll be able to play a mini game, Beatlemania, from the menu screen.
What?
Yeah.
Where is that again?
In the Mushroom Kingdom.
I don't think I ever saw that guy.
He's kind of in the corner and he's like not super obvious, but he's in the end.
Hmm.
So you'd have to go past the counter and notice him in the corner. And then you have
to. I don't think I did notice
him. And then you have to keep bugging him until he gets frustrated and quits his game.
Oh. I don't think I noticed him. Man, I need to go back and visit that guy.
Yeah, there are a lot of like little secrets in this game. There's even a hidden boss in Monster Town named Kulix, who's inspired by the Final Fantasy games and is the hardest non-post-game boss in the game, but is entirely optional and has nothing to do with the plot. I think I actually made you go back and find him.
Yeah, it was crazy. He had like 3,000 something hit points.
Yeah.
It took a while to beat him, but I did beat him.
Very nice.
I mean, I did play on breezy mode though. I would like to preface that. I did take the easy route.
So fun fact number three or four? Four, I think.
Okay.
This is the first Mario game to portray Bowser as a hero, since he aids Mario and the others for the majority of the game. The other games would include Mario and Luigi's Bowser's Inside Story and Super Paper Mario. Incidentally, all three games are RPGs.
Wow.
So, yeah. first game to have Bowser as not the main villain, or not like
a villain,
a villain, but like as a kind of heroic figure.
Kind of. You work together with him, which is kind of neat. But I was looking up all, because I didn't know that there was more than just this one Mario RPG.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's like 15 of them, and most of them are the Paper Marios. So are all the Paper Mario games RPGs?
So yeah, all the Paper Mario games are RPGs.
Okay, because I had always seen those, but I didn't know that they were RPGs.
Yeah, so what ended up happening is I feel like the RPGs branched off into two different series.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the Paper Mario games, which largely came out on the major consoles like Wii and GameCube and those types of consoles. Mm-hmm. And then you had the Mario and Luigi games, which came out on the handhelds like the Game Boy Advance and Nintendo DS and stuff like that.
Okay, cool.
So you had these two different RPG series that kind of went in different directions.
Okay, yeah. Like, this is probably only, what, the second RPG game I've played?
Yeah.
The other one was Final Fantasy VII.
Well, going back, there was actually one more. Undertale, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Undertale.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different, unique.
Undertale
but
is a weird RPG, but it's definitely an RPG.
Yeah, it's definitely Final Fantasy VII, and then this one is definitely more similar than Undertale.
Yeah, those are more traditional.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that all the fun facts?
Yeah, so that's all my fun facts.
Wow. Good job. Thanks. That was a lot of history, a lot of fun facts.
I hope we all learned something today.
We did. I definitely did. So do you want to like maybe briefly go over the story a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, you start out, obviously, Princess Peach gets kidnapped like every other Mario game.
Yeah, so I liked how at the beginning it almost parodied traditional Mario games.
Yeah,
it kind of does. Where Bowser comes, he kidnaps Princess Peach. You have to go to his castle and rescue her,
mm-hmm.
as per, you know, the normal Mario storyline goes. And then, like, right when you're rescuing her is when Xor shows up and, like, crashes through Bowser's castle.
Yeah, that guy. And then Bowser kind of, like, teams up with you because now you guys have, like, a common enemy.
Yeah, then you kind of all get thrown in different directions, which is, I'm not quite sure how that happens. The big sword falls into the cat and then it catapults everyone out.
You know what? Don't question it. Clearly, we're not doing like realistic physics in this Mario game.
Yeah. So you meet your best friend, Mallow, who is a prince who thinks he's a frog. He's a cloud prince.
Yeah. It's really confusing at first because he's like, I'm a frog. And you're like, you don't look like any frog I've ever seen. And it's like, you know what? This is Mario World. So sometimes the animals are a little off looking, but I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. Then you meet Gino, who is a doll, but he's a being from the stars.
Yeah. He kind of gives you like Pinocchio feels.
Yeah. And then you meet Bowser. You see Bowser at several points of the game. He has like a big army and then he slowly loses all of his troops until it's just him. It's kind of sad.
It's kind of funny.
You kind of feel bad for him.
Because then you bump into all of his minions later and they're like, oh, I'm so happy. You know? So like, I'll definitely be back. Bowser, don't worry. It's like, no, they won't. And then eventually Princess Peach joins your party.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Saving her from getting married to Booster.
Yeah. But yeah, all the characters kind of have their own little side stories, which is kind of cool too, because it's not just all about Mario and what he's doing. It's like Gino has his goals. Bowser has his personal goals, you know.
Getting back his castle.
Yeah. And Mallow has his things that he's trying to do. So I like that part.
Yeah.
Too. So I guess I kind of already started the pros there because I just said that I liked all the characters and now they have their like different things going on. So what's something that you like about the game?
I'll just add on to that. I agree. The story is good. It's simple, but it also doesn't take itself too seriously. So there's a lot of humor in there.
Yeah.
I also liked Bowser's redemption arc.
Yeah.
Where he starts off like as the cliche villain and then, you know, he turns it around.
He turns it around a little. He's still extremely selfish and narcissistic, but you know.
But it adds to the humor though.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like that it's, tongue-in-cheek a little bit. Kind of making fun of, like, the other Mario games and just kind of playing with you as the audience and saying, yeah, we can do whatever we want yeah. with these characters. Don't try to pigeonhole them into one thing. So that was cool. And I like that Princess Peach gets to join the party too and like help you guys fight against the enemies. And she's actually really, really helpful. So
yeah, and I thought it was cool. This is like one of the first Mario games where you can play as Peach or where she's a character in your party or something. So mm-hmm. you're playing with her or as her.
Yeah.
As opposed to just rescuing her, which you do rescue her in the game, but she becomes part of your party.
Yeah. There's just more to it.
Yeah, she's fighting with you. And then, yeah, that's not including, like, you know, the Mario Kart series, obviously, where mm-hmm. she's just a playable character.
And then Mario 2, if we count
that. Oh, yeah, actually, Mario 2, that's
yeah, if you count that one, because I know that was kind of like a weird one where it wasn't really a Mario game, right? They just put a bunch of Mario sprites over a game that already existed or something.
No, you're 100% right. That does count, and it should count.
Yeah.
So one of the things I liked is the remake did a good job of walking that line between staying true to the classic and updating the gameplay to modern standards. Mm-hmm. Most of the changes overall, I feel like, make the game better, in my opinion. Like being able to swap out your characters in battle makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that always bothered me about traditional RPGs where you would have a party bigger than like
what it allows you.
What you could have in combat. Yeah. So it's like I have like 7 characters, but only 3 of them or 4 of them can battle at a time. Like, this doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, what are the other people doing? Just, like, sitting around?
Yeah, that always bothered me. So I thought it was cool that you could swap out characters. So you're still limited to those 3 in combat at the same time, but if you have a character that goes down or something, you can bring in someone else to replace him.
Yeah, or if you want to switch out your team move, you can switch someone out and use like a different team move, because the special move that you get when you combine all 3 players together is different depending on what combination of 3 people you have in. So sometimes for me, I guess we'll talk about this later in the strategy, but I would switch out Princess Peach so she wasn't in the party, just so that special power wouldn't be a healing one and it would actually do damage against the enemy. And then like after I did it, I would just put Princess Peach back in because all of her healing stuff.
Yeah, she's super handy to have in your party. Just those heal spells are ridiculously overpowered.
Another thing that's really cool in this game is all of the silly bosses that you get to fight.
Yeah,
I guess there's like 7 mini bosses, because like pretty much every star you collect,
there's more than that.
Yeah,
there's definitely more than that, because there's some bosses that aren't, you don't fight specifically for a star.
That's true. So there's like at least 7 bosses that you fight, and they're just all really different, really unique, kind of silly, kind of quirky. They weren't all like Bowser, like big tough looking spiky scary kind of, not that Bowser's scary, but you know what I mean. What were some of the bosses like?
So you have the giant bow guy.
Yeah,
I forget the names, but you have the
Bellow.
Yeah, the guy who keeps eating Mallow.
He just wants a snack, you know. There was the one called Forky that was like a tomato with like a fork. I mean, that was kind of like a reoccurring
enemy. That was just a minor character.
That's true. That was a reoccurring enemy. But I don't know. Actually, just like, not just the bosses, though, but all the little enemies were kind of like fun. And it seemed like they had a good time coming up with a bunch of variations of stuff.
Yeah, just creating things.
Mm-hmm.
So I always like the timing-based combat. Like, it's something that stood out to me when I was a kid, because I didn't see that in a lot of other RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I always wondered why they never added more timing elements like that to other RPGs to help them be more engaging.
Yeah,
like they
did
with this game. Like, this is just kind of a weird one-off for an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
So it always kind of like, why don't they add that to Final Fantasy? It would just make it that much more engaging. But maybe I was just me.
No, I agree with you. It does help. It gives you something else to do in between.
Yeah.
Because there's just like, it's kind of a slower pace.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I like about this game is, well, not really like, but, well, I do like it, but I think they did a really good job with the graphics. Like, everything is really beautifully rendered or remastered, and the game looks really good. It looks new.
Yeah.
Looks like it just came out.
It looks polished. I mean, the cutscenes and stuff they added, like, they do look fantastic.
Yeah, and then at the end, you kind of get this parade sort of thing, which will show you sort of what the old game looked like. But then in the middle, it switches to new graphics.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see, like, what the old one looked like versus the new one a little bit.
Yeah,
which
I always
kind of cool. I never played the old one.
I always loved that in-game parade. I don't know why I liked it so much. It was just silly and fun. So something I had was that the game is just loaded with secrets. So hidden bosses, secret areas, secret weapons and armor, a hidden casino. Yeah.
Oh, man, I never found the casino.
Yeah, I love that kind
of
stuff.
I also never found any of the hidden treasures because I never equipped that. What was that thing you said I needed to equip? The stick, the sensor stick thing?
Oh, the signal ring.
Signal ring, yeah. Goes very close.
So you never found any of the hidden chests?
No, I need to go back and equip that and go back and do some stuff. There's definitely more to the game than just playing through the story. Because, like, I've already beaten the game. But it sounds like there's still a lot of stuff I can go back and kind of play around with. And, like, still try to complete if I want to.
Yeah, you can do those post-game bosses, too.
Yeah.
If you want. And my last thing is just, I always love the music in this game.
And the music is so good.
Yeah. And specifically, the track that stood out the most that I liked as a kid was Forest Maze.
I like that one.
And then that ridiculously sad piano part, whenever anyone whenever they want to have a really dramatic moment, I'm like, that is like the saddest little melody you could ever come up with.
Is that what they played at the very end of the game? Because that song is epic.
No. This was just something like anytime they want to have like a character go into a sad scene, they'd play this song.
Yeah.
Like when Mallow finds out that he was abandoned as a child and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
the music does a really good job of like setting the tone. It also makes some stuff funny, you know. There's this one part where Mario is the statue and you're all gold Mario.
Yeah.
And that bird is checking the statues.
Yeah,
and then it's
like
you jump, but he keeps going. And they do kind of like that 1920s sort of thing where it's like the bird's like, did I just see this? Let me walk backwards. And they kind of do like a fun song during that. And it's just like,
yeah,
everything, all the music is
it's
perfect.
Like, it's choreographed to the song.
Yeah, it's so good. Two more things that I like. I like that there's two difficulty options, which is cool. You have breezy mode, which is what I played it on. And then you have, what's the other mode called?
Normal.
Oh, okay. Not a cool name, but whatever. Which is nice because I really wasn't trying to play something super difficult with this. So I like that it had the breezy mode. And the breezy mode only affected the battles, I think, and not any of the platforming or puzzles. So it was kind of cool that it only affected the battles because I don't really necessarily want easier puzzles. And then there's just like a lot of places to save the game in this game.
Yeah. And they even added like an auto save function, which makes it so you don't lose too much progress.
Yeah, which is really nice. I always appreciate it when games let you just save all the time, because I think I recently played one where you couldn't save and it was just kind of annoying. You had to just always wait for autosave, and it was like, when was the last autosave? I don't know how much am I gonna lose if I quit the game right now.
Just makes
but
you nervous.
Yeah, overall, I don't think RPGs are necessarily my favorite type of game to play, but I think this is still a really fun, good game.
Cool.
And if you like RPGs, you probably definitely would like it.
Like, the best way I view this game is, like, it's a great starter RPG because it's short, it's interactive, it's funny, like, it's simple.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good things about it.
And there's other stuff to do than just battle, like the platforming and some of the mini games and things like that.
I mean, a lot of good RPGs have those extra things.
Well, I don't know. This is only the second or third one I've played, so.
True.
But one of the things that I really did not like about this game was how repetitive it can get, especially when you're trying some of the platforming challenges. Like, if you mess up, it's just the same dialogue and you have to go through the same sort of scenario a whole bunch of times. So, for example, there was one bridge where you had to pay, I think, 50 coins to try to get across it, and then you could pick easy, normal, expert, or something like that. For one, I didn't know that there was another way to get past this area, so I thought I had to do it. And it took...
No, you had to go over the bridge.
Okay, well, it took me so many tries, and it's like every time you fall off the bridge, you have to walk over to the guy, I don't know his name, jump on his head so he can float you back up to the top of the cliff, and then you have to talk to the guy, spend the 50 coins again, pick your difficulty, and he tells you good luck. And it's just like, after you've heard that about 10 times, you're like, there should be an easier way to just do this again. Or like that part in Land's End when you're climbing up the side of the mountain with the paratrooper, or on the paratrooper shells. Yeah. And every time you fall, that guy comes down and tells you the exact same thing. It's like, dude, I know. You don't think I'm trying? I'm trying here. Why are you taunting me?
Yeah, not every element in the game has aged well. And some of those spots where you can get that repetitive dialogue are pretty annoying. I agree with you on that.
Even like some of the enemies, like if you are in certain areas and you would run into the same enemies, it would be like the same group of enemies you would have to fight. And sometimes that can get a little bit boring too, because you're just like, okay, I know all these weaknesses and whatever, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's RPGs in general, or at least the old RPGs.
Yeah.
One of the nice things about it was that, like, you could avoid some of those battles with Mario RPG. So the original, like, the old school RPGs were just random battles. So you're in an area, you go so many steps, and you have a battle. Mario RPG was nice because you had all the enemies on kind of the overscreen, and you could actually actively avoid some of the battles by jumping over them or going around.
Yeah, that's true.
So that was...
Oh, wait, is Fallout an RPG?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, we didn't mention that one earlier. We did a podcast on Fallout. When you said running into random enemies, that reminded me, because that one, you're just literally walking around like a desert, and then like you'll run into an enemy that you don't even see.
Yeah, that's pretty common in traditional RPGs, is random encounters.
Yeah, so at least in this one, you know when you run into an enemy because they're there. Like, you don't ever just walk over a patch of grass and like you're in a battle.
Yeah. So one of my cons was just, you know, the original Mario RPG was already a pretty easy game. Like, so the changes to the remake made an easy game just way easier. And you have no option to turn up the difficulty.
Yeah.
And that was the most disappointing part of the remake for me. While I overall like the changes, like, I just wish they added like more of a challenge
difficulty. Like an expert mode or something like that.
Yeah, just some way to make it like more difficult.
A windy mode. Like, it had breezy, normal, and windy.
Sure, yeah. You could call it whatever you want. But yeah, just something to give returning players more of a challenge, because I think a lot of people who played the original really liked the original.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the original is a very easy game.
Yeah. For me, I thought the difficulty was pretty good, but I never... Maybe I should have played the original one and this one so I would know. Get a good feel of
Once you play through it about 5 times, it's even easier.
You would know. You would know. Something I don't like is the gameplay can feel a little slow sometimes, because you're just like waiting for it to be your turn, you know?
Yeah. Especially if you get turned into like a mushroom or something.
Yeah.
Where you literally can't do anything.
Yeah. Which I will say, the booster exclamation point things, those do kind of help it be a little more interactive, like you said, but it's definitely not action-packed gameplay. Like God of War or something like that would be, where you're doing like combos and you're like, you know, fighting the enemies like in real time. But that's not the point of this game. I know
it's an RPG, Nick.
I know. That's a personal preference.
So one of the disappointing things to me was, even though it's cool that they had the secret area in there, so Great Guy Casino was always a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you finally find it, not only are the mini games inside pretty lame, the need for coins is basically non-existent.
Because you have so many like saved up. Yeah.
I remember the games all being just extremely simple. Like, there's no poker or blackjack or anything. It's like all, I don't know.
Like, just like pick... up or down for a number.
Yeah, it's like one of the games.
Higher or lower kind of thing, or something like that.
Look the correct direction or something. I don't know. It's stuff like that.
It sounds like that casino that that what's his face goes to in like Family Vacation.
Yeah, that's exactly what it reminds me of.
That casino where it's just like someone has a rock in one of their hands and it's like, pick a hand left or right.
Or what was it? I'm thinking of a number.
I'm thinking of a number. Yeah. If like ESPN Ocho was a casino, like here's what that would be. Yeah. With all the random games.
All the D and F games.
Yeah. So for me, it was like, you know, there's a lot of, not a lot of reading in this game compared to other RPGs we've played, but I felt like if you missed one little line of dialogue, sometimes I would be like, crap, what am I supposed to be doing yeah. right now? And it's like, you would have the flag to indicate what area of the map that you needed to be in, but if you didn't know what you were supposed to do in that level, sometimes it would be a little frustrating for me because I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I would be going through this hard world and I would be like fighting all these enemies, and then it would turn out I didn't even need to go through that section or whatever, and I was like, dang it.
Yeah, I remember you getting stuck on trying to find that area for the paratroopers to get you to Land's End or whatever.
Because I had gotten to that part of the map, but it was before I talked to the paratroopers, so like they weren't there, and I was like, how the crap am I supposed to get up this mountain?
Yeah,
because there's that sign that's like, you know, this way, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm supposed to do that. And yeah, it was just like you have to do things in a certain order, and I don't know.
Yeah, I go to Monster Town and then come back.
Yeah,
so my final con is kind of a minor con. So I don't understand why they swapped Mario making the peace sign for Mario taking off his hat. I like the peace sign better. I don't know.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, it used to be in the original Mario, just he made a peace sign like after combat or after something.
So he takes his hat off.
And
in
now
this
now he takes off his hat for the remake.
Yeah, I didn't even.
And I know it's a small change, but it bothers me because I'm not sure why they changed it.
Who knows? Did you Google it?
No. I didn't.
Maybe they just wanted something to be a little different from the new one versus the old one. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it does make it a little different, but just like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know. And where's Luigi, man? Like, Luigi's missing from this game.
He's leading the parade after the game.
He's sitting this one out, I guess. He's like, I'm taking a vacation, you guys.
Yeah, I think originally they intended Luigi to be in the game, but they just ran out of time to put him in.
Yeah, but Luigi's kind of one of my favorite characters, so I was like missing him in this game. And then another thing for me, my last con is, man, some of those mini games are so hard for me. I feel like maybe for other people that are really good at platforming, maybe not as hard, but it's like if you make one tiny mistake and then you're falling all the way down and having to start something over, and it's just like, dang it, I'm really bad at this.
Yeah, the isometric like platforming is weird for sure, and that adds another element of difficulty.
Yeah. So Eric, do you have just a whole bunch of strategy for this game?
Not really, no. I mean, the only thing you really need to do, like if you're struggling, just go fight some regular enemies and level up a little bit.
Level up,
yeah.
How do you recommend leveling up? Do you always just like go for health, or do you go like health, defense, magic, or do you try to even it out, or like what do you do?
So the way I do it is there's usually a stat that gives you a bigger bonus. Like, and it alternates each time you level up, a character levels up. So I usually just find the stat that has the biggest bonus associated with it. But there are strategies, I think, where you can just try to build up like special attack on somebody or someone build up special attack. But I don't know how much of a difference it really makes.
Yeah, I mostly
I think that's more if you're into the speed running where you're just trying to like go as fast as you can.
Yeah. I mostly try to just keep it kind of even, like, and just take turns, like, with what I boosted up or powered up.
Yeah.
Unless I was, like, specifically, like, okay, my magic items are not doing a lot of damage. Like, let me try to boost those up or something. That might do that, like, two or three times in a row. But for the most part, I try to keep it pretty, like, in rotation. For me, it's, like, keep an eye on everyone's health. I know that sounds kind of basic, but it's like easy to just get distracted by other stuff, because when it's finally your turn, you're so like ready to go that it's like you might need to stop and take a second and see if you need to heal someone before you just attack. At least that was the problem for me. Because, yeah, I just, I'm impatient. Yeah, I'm impatient.
Yeah.
Stay stocked up on all your special items. That's a good strategy. Whenever you go to the store, just like
your
buy
syrups,
all those items.
Your syrups, your mushrooms, your pick-me-ups.
Yeah, those help out a lot. And use your rock candy. I like kept getting rock candy, and I was like, I just like didn't really think much about it. I was like, oh, that must just be some throwaway thing.
Yeah.
And then when I was fighting, you were like, you should try that. And I was, and then like I used it, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I should have been using this the whole time.
Well, you rightfully saved it for the final boss.
That's true. It did just work out. It worked out great.
Yeah, so Princess Peach, her heal spells are way overpowered. So not only do they like give you HP, they also cure all status effects.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a character that's been turned into a scarecrow or mushroom or something, they automatically cure that status effect.
Yeah, they jump out of that. Yeah. I noticed that and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Especially when you're fighting some of those later bosses and you're pretty much having to heal up almost every round because their attacks are so strong. I don't know if you could beat some of those without her.
Yeah, she's pretty much a necessity in like those major boss battles.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're gonna need to heal every single like turn, and she can pretty much heal almost all the damage that you take.
Yeah. And something else that I didn't realize at first was that there's like different armors and different kind of like wearable items that Mario can put on, like different shirts and shoes and stuff like that, and you can go into and equip those, but you have to do it separately, so make sure you go in and do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Keep equip your, all your things,
keep your equipment up to date.
I don't know. Well, I guess if you play a lot of RPGs, that's pretty much like second nature, but for me, since I don't play a lot of them, it's like I have to remember, okay, go into your team screen and kind of like make sure everyone has their stuff on, because I didn't have anything on anyone for a long time. And then I put everyone's armor on and the fights got so much easier, so much quicker. It was great.
That's pretty funny.
I know. I was doing certain things that were making it harder on myself. Like I didn't even know that you could like boost up your powers and your defenses at first, and so man, the fights were taking so long.
You mean by boost up your offense, you're talking about those extra timed hits?
Yeah, on the defense and the offense.
Yeah, that's pretty important. I remember you doing that. I'm like, wow, that would actually make the game a lot harder by not trying to block anything and not trying to like increase your attack.
Yeah, that'd be a good challenge almost if it was like someone who had played more RPGs.
Yeah.
That would probably be a pretty good challenge. But I was just doing it on my own. You didn't even have to give it to me as a challenge. I make it more challenging on myself without you. So
that's funny. Yeah, so my last bit of strategy is that the post-game bosses are more like a puzzle than traditional boss fights. In other words, you're not going to be able to just grind for levels to beat them. You're going to have to find out what you need to do within the battle to beat them.
Mm-hmm. What their weaknesses are.
Yeah, like a pattern or something.
Mm-hmm. And like, do you need to get rid of one of their sidekicks or like first, or one of their body parts first to like actually beat them? Because like there was that one enemy where it was like the two eyes and the mouth. But maybe it was the sword fight.
Yeah, Xor.
And then like the eyes and the mouth are separate from like the handle, and it's like you had to like get the eyes out before you could attack the handle or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was like.
And then you whoa. Had then you had the mouth, which you could temporarily disable by doing enough damage to it, and you just kind of like sit there with his mouth hung open for a minute.
Yeah, and then you beat that fight, but like when it says you win, you're literally getting sucked into its mouth, which I don't understand. Kind of like a weird time warp looking thing.
Yeah, the mouth is a passageway.
Yeah, and it's like you win, and then he like sucks you up, and it's like, did I win? I guess so.
Are they dead?
Yeah.
All right, any other bits of strategy?
No, Like you said, I think this is a good beginner RPG. I wish I kind of would have played it first before I played any other ones. Because I think it is a good way to learn how basic RPGs usually go.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so did you find anything for the future?
Not really. Everything I found was just about it being on sale, which, yeah, if you know Nintendo, like, they never put their games on sale, so I guess that is news, but I don't think it's on sale anymore.
Yeah, so the one thing I did see was, you know, I told you about there's two sets of RPGs for Mario now.
Yeah.
So you have the Paper Mario ones and the Mario and Luigi games.
Mm-hmm.
So there actually is about to be a new Mario and Luigi RPG release.
Oh, okay.
They actually just announced it recently.
But what are they going to put it on?
It's going to be on Switch.
Okay.
It's called Mario and Luigi Brothership, and it comes out in November.
Nice.
So
I might play that, maybe. If you get it, you'll probably buy it. I might play it.
Maybe. I actually haven't really played any of the Mario and Luigi games.
Yeah.
Or the Paper Mario games.
It's kind of interesting either. Because, you know, you had mentioned that the Mario and Luigi ones are for the handheld games, and then the Paper Mario games are more for the console, but the Switch is both.
Yeah.
And so now, I guess if they make a Paper Mario game, that would also be on the Switch. So now they're two worlds combined.
Combining both worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny. Awesome. So do you think you'll want to get that one?
Maybe, yeah. I'll look into it. Like I said, I never played any of the other ones. Maybe they might go back.
Might be a good Christmas present or something.
Yeah, it might be good to go back and replay some of those older games.
Yeah.
Or not replay, play for the first time. But
true.
Yeah. So moving on to the challenge. So Nikki, did you beat Ixor, the giant sword thing sticking out of Bowser's castle?
Yeah, I did. I beat the whole game.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
So you went to the very next little bit to beat the final boss.
Yeah. Yeah. And I even beat that Final Fantasy guy afterwards and did a couple other things.
Cool.
The only thing I have left that I want to do is, what'd you call it again? The signal? Crap, I keep forgetting the name of it.
The signal ring?
The signal ring. Yeah, I want to put that on and find some hidden treasure.
Okay, yeah.
Because I totally missed that whole aspect.
Most of the treasure, I think...
Is it dumb?
It's
should
like
I not
frog
learn?
Coins and like, yeah. But there are some hidden weapons and armor, but okay. They're not. You do other stuff. I can think of like the giant shell. I forget what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the shell armor and the shell, giant shell that you can get as a weapon
mm-hmm.
if you find the seed and the fertilizer.
So yeah, your challenge was nothing.
Right.
For me.
Well, I guess I did actually make a rap beat, so I would be kind of a waste if it didn't get used.
So, yeah, you should definitely just go ahead and rap anyway.
Okay, I guess I'll rap. I know I'm not a cloud, I'm a tadpole. They say I'm well endowed with a bad soul. Could never draw a crowd, settle for a sad role. Then I made a vow and I'm heading for a rad goal. Got a cricket pie for my dad's hole. Bought some new pants, just a tad droll. Beating down crocs with my flagpole. I don't even fight, I just use the goodie bag troll. A little insane, got fluff for a brain. Now I make it rain with a little sight of pain. I'm the real Bruce Wayne, floating on my cloud train. I don't even strain when I end Smithy's reign. Got no money, got no fame, just a lot of Mary Jane. Sending bodies down the drain, living in the fast lane. Put bracer in my vein, so I never get a sprain. Mario ain't the main, it's the mellow campaign.
Good job, Eric. You're always doing good raps.
Thank you. All right.
So it's my turn
to
pick the next game. And you know what time is coming up?
September.
No.
Late.
The next month.
October,
which means...
Beer Fest.
Spooky season. And Oktoberfest, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's spooky season, and so I wanted to pick a game that looks kind of spooky.
Cool. A spooky game, like a Resident Evil or a...
Yeah, just like Resident
zombie
Evil.
Zombie game,
mm-hmm.
I assume.
Yeah, totally action-packed, for
action-packed zombie game. All right,
no,
let's do
it. No, actually, we've been doing so much action games lately. We did Cyberpunk, And we did Mario RPG. Both, you know, have a lot of battles and fighting and stuff. So I'm like, you know what? We're going to slow it down.
Slow it down. All right.
Going to pick a more chill and hopefully scary game.
Cool. Yeah.
It's called What Remains of Edith Finch.
Huh.
Ooh, doesn't that sound like a,
yeah,
like a
I've never,
ghost story?
Never heard of that game before.
Me either. We actually had some friends come over last weekend. And yeah, you know, Kate from our Frogger episode, she recommended this game. She had just played it.
Cool.
And I was like, oh, that sounds really interesting. It kind of sounded like similar to maybe Layers of Fear-ish, but I don't know.
Oh, nice.
So we'll,
yeah,
we'll see when we play it. I know it's more story-driven than, you know, like platforming, or it's more of like a visual novel, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll definitely see. But your challenge is to beat the game.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it. All right.
I didn't want to dig around too much because since it is a story-based game,
yeah, you don't
and
want to spoil
neither
it.
One of us have played it yet, I didn't want to accidentally read the ending or something, you know? So I figured that was a pretty safe challenge, and I don't think it is very long. So I think it's only like a 3-hour game or something. So you might even be able to play through it multiple times if you want.
Cool. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited Sounds about good. Spooky season, and I'm excited about this game.
Yeah, me too. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Do it to it.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Like this episode and you want to show us a little bit of support, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us or interact with us on Spotify. We also have an Instagram and a TikTok you can check out, and it'd be awesome to hear what you guys think about the games that we play and what you like and don't like. Until next time, bye.